Going to start the recording. Okay, so today is day 17 of our coronavirus miracles healing circles, and I'm so excited. My friend, my mighty companion, Maria Felipe is with us. So yay, hooray! And I was just sharing with our friends here about your book, Live Your Happy. And why don't the ones that you have that book, just pick it up and show her that, you know, we're familiar with your book. So there we go. We got some copies up.
Let me see if I could. Oh, okay. Because there's more people this way. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. If you do like a gallery view, then you can see everyone at the same time.
I see it, Joe. I see it. Let me. That's awesome, Barbara. Oh, it's sweet. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. I could see everybody at the same time if I press something here.
Yeah, if you go, are you on a laptop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So if you go on the top right hand corner, there's it should say gallery.
Gallery. View. Mm, gotcha. There, there,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I see everybody. Hi everyone.
Okay. Ah, lovely, lovely. Okay, so. I just thought, Maria, would start with the healer's prayer just for us to join in that vibe. So we are here only to be truly helpful. We are here to represent him who sent us. We need not worry about what to say or what to do because he who sent us will direct us. We are content to go wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with us. We will be healed as we let him teach us to heal. So I really love that prayer, and every time I say it, I just love it more and more and more, because it just helps me feel like, okay, I'm not in charge. I can let go and I can just allow. And that's just such a nice feeling. So Maria, there's so many things we want to talk about, but I thought we could start that before you became a minister with Pathways of Light, you were leading a life with, you were a successful, you know, acting career. You were a TV host, you know, modeling, traveling the world. But something inspired you, something happened that moved you towards the Pathways of Light and all of that. So I think for us, you know, it would be lovely just to hear, just, you know, if you could share with us about that.
Thank you so much, Seema. First, I want to thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to join with you all. This morning, speaking about television, I was feeling that like I was waking up for a shoot or something, because I'm not used to doing interviews so early here. It's 8 a.m. in LA, so usually my interviews are later in the day if I'm doing a podcast interview or someone's interviewing me for something. So this morning, since it was 8, because I know it's 11 for you, Seema, I felt that I was getting up for a TV shoot. It was so funny. I was like, I feel like I'm in the days when I used to wake up early and have to drive, you know, over Laurel Canyon here in Hollywood to shoot. So I thought that was kind of funny. I was have my lights on. I feel like I'm on a TV show or something. Yeah, I right now, I was so grateful the way you opened up the call right now, because I was thinking how much I wanted to meditate. And this morning, with having my son up and getting ready for this and sleeping in a little bit more, I've just been sleeping so much more deeper lately. And I was sleeping so deep. And then I didn't want to wake up. And then I was like, well, I have to wake up because I have to be here. And I just love how you meditated, because I was thinking I would love to kind of just go within for a few minutes, but I didn't want to be any later than I was. So it's beautiful how spirit always takes care of us. You know, we're always so taken care of, and there's nothing really wrong. And I remember before I started, I was like, oh, I just want to have that meditation time. And then when you were doing the meditation and went to the silence, I was like, ah, spirit, you have me, you have us, you know, and that's always there. You know, that presence of spirit's always there to have our back and take care of us no matter what. Sometimes we think things need to look a certain way, and it's okay. You know, the acceptance is within the acceptance is the healing. But going to your question, wow. Well, you know, I was really lost in the illusion for a long time. At the same time, within the illusion, I had had so many mystical experiences when I was little, because I felt very connected to Holy Spirit. This is something I don't share in the book, but I had a mystical experience when I was around 4 or 5 that I had a presence sit next to me in my couch. And I remember asking the presence, what was it? And I was a little girl, and the presence said to me, Holy Spirit. So I always had this connection to my true self since I was a little girl. When I was little, I felt that I was the best thing ever. I felt I was the most beautiful girl in the world. There's nobody that could stop me. I remember feeling that. And I remember my brother telling me one day, oh, you know, you think that you're the best, or you think you're the most beautiful? And I was like, yeah. And then he kind of doubted it. And then I doubted it. So that's when it all started. And it's not his fault. It was just like, then I started to build this self-concept that I'm separate at this time, and that I'm not the best, and I'm not one, and all these things. And I'm sure a lot of us can relate to this as we grow up. These stories are told to us and we buy into them. So it's funny, because after that, I started to go deep into illusion, and I still had a connection to spirit, because I would pray and connect to God. But as I became an actor and a model, then I'm in a business of where other people are telling me if I'm good enough or not for a job. Because when you're an actor in television, you go into auditions and there's 300, 500, a lot of people, and then they only pick one, you know? So it's funny how I put myself in that position of really having to have that validation outside of me in such a big way. Now, I could have seen it differently, you know, and I did at times. I was like, the only competition is myself. It's my head, you know, and sometimes I would go there. But most of the time, especially when I was younger, is that I wanted that job. And if I didn't get that job, whatever that job was, I was, as I like to say, a hot mess. You know, I wasn't happy. And so I did television and acting for about 20 years, and I was very successful at it. I worked full time. I didn't have to have another job. I really was dedicated to it. But at the same time, it was a very lonely road. It was a very lonely road. I felt that I was constantly searching outside of me for validation, not only in my career, but I was searching for my love and validation in a human, in a man per se, of where I was like a social dater, and I was like always in relationships, you know. I always needed to have a companion with me. If I didn't have a man with me, or someone to date, or someone to be my boyfriend, I was devastated and I wasn't happy. So it was, and I feel that that comes also from when I was little, because, and I share this story in my book, that my father committed suicide when I was 3 months old. So there was like this whole thing of abandonment that existed within me as well. So what happened is, and I'm sure a lot of people could relate, when I started to begin my awakening process, as I like to say, was when in 2009, when I was filing for divorce. And I'm from my first marriage, and I'm sure a lot of people could relate that have had a divorce, how that changes you when something really shifts in that space when you're going through something like that. Because when you get married, you know, the goal is to be with that person forever or whatnot. So going back to before that, I had started studying the Course in Miracles in 1995 when I read Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love. And I wouldn't start going to courses or to a group till 2001. So that being said, I was studying the Course in Miracles. I was going to a weekly group. I was doing my lessons. I was also reading other self-help books. I was a self-help book junkie. I was, at that time, it was Anthony Robbins and his cassette tapes that you would see the infomercials on TV. It was Maria Shriver, all those people, the 1990s gang. And I loved all this stuff, but I don't know if many of you could relate. I was still not happy. And I was reading all these books and doing these workshops and kumbaya this and a kumbaya that, and I am love and I am light, and I'm not remotely feeling that. So I wasn't experiencing what the Course in Miracles was saying. I was doing the opposite. So I would go to my course group on, you know, and feel good maybe Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, because it was really great experience in my group. And then on Thursday, I would go out on a date, and then I would think that the person in front of me is going to save me or complete me. So I wasn't really living it. And what happens is I start to go into this path of going to be divorced from my partner. And I decide that I'm going to go to Pathways of Light. And the reason for that, Pathways of Light is a ministerial program based on A Course in Miracles. And I actually asked the minister that had married myself and my ex-husband, what shall I do? And she was A Course in Miracles, Pathways of Light minister, actually. So I thought that was beautiful. That's another sign from spirit that something's going on here. It was kind of all set up in a way. I feel that my marriage to this person brought me into this ministerial school, which is amazing. She says to me, Maria, why don't you go to Pathways of Light to be a minister? It's like a university for the Course in Miracles. And then you become a reverend and a minister. And I said, a reverend? I don't want to become a reverend. I'm an actor and a model. I don't want to be speaking or doing ceremonies or weddings. Like, that's not my thing. I'm an actor, you know, it's all egotistical. And she's like, well, don't go to be a minister, go for your healing. And that kind of turned me on. I was like, okay. So I went online. I saw the curriculum. I saw it was all based on the Course in Miracles, the teachings of Pathways of Light, which I love. It really helps you to have a very intimate relationship with Holy Spirit. And that's what I really wanted, because I had heard Holy Spirit's voice very clearly when I was 4 or 5 years old. So since the curriculum was based, which the Course in Miracles is also teaching us how to have a very deep connection with Spirit through forgiveness, I said, ding, 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 like that's what I want. But it's not that I even want to be here speaking with you, Seema, about these concepts at the time. I just wanted to get my healing on. So I went to Pathways of Light, and it wasn't an easy time for me, because I was still very stuck in my egotistical ways. I was still looking for happiness outside of me. At that time, I was drinking very heavily. Sometimes my English is not so good. I was drinking very heavily. I was looking outside. I was going through my divorce. So I felt that if I had found another man, that pain would go away. So that was also going on. I was going back to my addiction, obviously, in a very, very destructive way. But hence I started the program with a facilitator. The program is on the phone and it's teleconference mostly. And you get the binders at home at the time. Now they have them digitally, but at the time it was binders, and you would do a lot of meditation. It's a lot of meditative work and it's a lot of channeling. So that was very helpful. But at the same time, I was doing that work. Then, you know, during the week, I was, you know, getting drunk. You know, it was like I was kind of just all over the place at the time. So what happens is that it gets to a point that I leave Pathways of Light for about a year, and I get in a very destructive space, obviously, because now I'm totally disconnected. I'm not doing anything really. Looking for my happiness again outside of me, looking for something outside to complete me. And I remember that I was acting as well, and I wasn't really getting jobs. I was just really all over the place. There's nothing wrong with that. It was just my path, you know, at the time. And there was a moment when it shifted, Seema, when I was so devastated, and I felt that if I didn't do something, I was going to die. That's what it felt like. It felt that if something didn't change, I was going to die. But not only that, I felt that I was already dead. Not only that, I felt that I've been dead all my life. I felt that I wasn't really living. And all the times that I thought I was happy, it wasn't true happiness. It was a happiness that was a drug from outside of me. This is why my whole message of happiness is very different, because it's not cheerleader happiness. It's a very deep, it's a different type of experience, the happiness that I teach. But I said, if I don't stop this, I'm going to die. And I had already, and I'm sure that even before, and I know we'll probably get into this later, even before the coronavirus, I really felt that we were all living in a little bit of a tranced out zombie state. We were very just kind of a robotic. Yeah, I know we're spiritual, but there's way of being very robotic. That kind of, we need a little slap in the face, I feel. So I start to have like this experience of a call for help. That was my call for help. I was crying. I remember a lot of people have this awakening experience when they're on their knees in the bathroom and stuff like that. That was mine. I wasn't in my bathroom. I was on my bed, and I just had like a big cry out to spirit. And I remember my brother calling me and saying, why don't you go back to Pathways of Light? And I told him, remember that school that you were going to? Why don't you go back there? He wouldn't even know what it was. You know, this was spirit, of course, through him. And I called Pathways of Light. I went back there, and I did the whole curriculum, and I finished in 2012. And that's when my life started changing. It wasn't like I had like a awakening in one moment. It was a process of where I would do the lessons, and I would meditate and channel. And I started to become very proficient at channeling. I started to get really good at listening to spirit, and I started to let go of my addictions to especially needing to have a relationship. Here we are. But I feel that what changed for me, and this is something I talk about in Live Your Happy, what helped me, Seema, and everybody here, was that I began to finally, my book's title is Live My Happy. And what does that mean? Is I started to really implement the teachings of the Course in Miracles without making more exceptions or compromises. Mm-hmm. It was as if I need to do this or I'm going to die. So it was like, I'm all in. And I did the work, and I wasn't playing anymore. I wasn't dibbly dabbling anymore in my wrong mind. Yeah, of course I go back to the ego all the time, but there was this whole commitment now, because I know what it's like not to have that commitment. So I woke up, my first awakening in Pathways of Light was, and this is actually the key to happiness at some point, is that I realized that I wasn't living it. Mm-hmm. I realized that I could read and serenade the Course over and over and know its concepts, but I needed to bring it from the intellectual to my heart and begin to live it. And what does that look like? Well, I take responsibility for my life, period. Like, just stick your finger in your mouth. You know, it's like, that's it. I take responsibility. It's not I take responsibility, but, you know, I want to take responsibility, but I still want to believe that somebody else is doing something to me, which is what we do still, you know, because there's a compromise there. Or I want to forgive, but not really, you know, because you still want to hang on to something. And then the lastly is you start to really live as if you have everything and you lack nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's very powerful. And when we, when we start, it's like today's lesson is I am as God created me, you know? It says if you, when you really live, if I really live, I am as God created me. I am his holy son eternally. And I really believe that and I live that. It's very different than knowing it intellectually. And I feel that that's what a lot of and my students that I work with is that's, I feel sometimes what's happening is that there's a compromise. And it's very subtle. It's very unconscious. It's like there's just something that we still don't want to give up. And if you really want to experience that, this epic and very deep connection to God, which we all have, you need to really, and I like to say this, you know, we got to get to work. You know, it's as if that's it. Like the time has come to get to work and to live this stuff. And to, if you need to close the Course in Miracles, you do that, you know, because there's comes a time, and that's what the workbook lessons are for, is to really implement this fully in your life. So live your happy. It's like, how are you being with your relationship with yourself? How are you being with your relationships with others? How are you thinking about that cashier that's at the grocery store? How are you thinking about your husband? Like, this is like constant work, but I say work just because it's a form word that helps. But it's really practice and work. And then what you do is it starts to become automatic. And then you're like very awake in the dream. It's like, there's really nothing that could really phase you, you know, because you kind of, it's like, you see it and then you're like, boo, you know, the ego, you're like, boo. And then it's gone. You're like, cause you remember who you are and the ego just like disappears and you're like, okay, I'm done. So that's what happened to me. I had that, and I could talk a little bit about later, but I want to hear your thoughts, but about when I really had the awakening, when I healed my relationships with men. That was another mystical experience that I had later, but I talk about it in chapter, You're Not Fearless. I talk about the 7-step forgiveness process. That's when I awoke in a big way, but we can talk about that in a little bit. But I'm going to have a drink of water now.
Okay.
too much talking for me. No, just kidding.
No, I think that was beautiful. I can feel that there's going to be, you just shared so honestly and transparently. And I know there's going to be many that are going to want to ask questions of many of things you shared. So it was all perfect. So I'm kind of feeling to, you know, right now you're married, you have, you know, you have a baby boy who's going to be 2 soon. And I remember when you talked about your relationship with Christian, actually, I was so inspired. You had sent a newsletter and I had already done my newsletter for the week for whatever it was, but something was so inspiring in the way you shared it that I just sat down and I wrote another one because it was, you know, just about the idea of how you were seeing that relationship in such a different way. The purpose was different. And, you know, so I was wondering if you could share about that as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about Christian, although I think that this actually pertains to that awakening that I had. And because the way that I was, it's funny you asked that question, because I was like, okay, well, I guess it's time. The way I was able to start seeing Christian, the way I see him, is because of this experience I had. And the only reason I felt that I called him in was because of this healing that took place. And actually, this healing that took place is for all of us. You know, that's why I want to share this story. It's really for all of us. I feel it really helps us release a lot of the compromises that we're making and the exceptions we're making. I had given an amazing talk at Unity of Burbank. I speak here regularly. I actually speak at Unity churches regularly. They're non-denominational churches, but they really love the Course in Miracles message. And they also have groups of Course in Miracles within the system, which I think is really great. So I love to go there. And I actually started their very first Spanish ministry back in 2012. I started their Spanish ministry there. And I remember that I had given a beautiful service. At the time, I was sort of dating. I was dating someone because that person wasn't really dating me, but I was dating him. That's what I would say. He was a Hollywood director, not big time, but he was a Hollywood director that I met, and I was dating him. He didn't want any part of it. And I was sitting in the couch from my service the day before we had this conversation of where he told me that he's not relationship material, and he's not a good boyfriend. He's just not a good boyfriend. He's not relationship material. And he had told me this the day before. And I was thinking about on the couch, I was thinking how I can get him to somehow come over. And I was trying to think if I can like wrap up some spaghetti and meatballs or something at the time. And how could I kind of text him so I can reel him in so he can come over so I can, you know, tell him that he's relationship material and then I'm the person for him. You know, it was like this is the ego at work, you know. How can I manipulate, control this person, you know, to come over? And trying to reel him in with food, you know. It was like a novella, you know, like the Spanish novellas. All I needed was the heavy makeup with the eyelashes, you know. So I had given this amazing talk. I'm sitting on the couch and I'm thinking about this person coming over so I can tell them that I am enough. You know, I can tell this person I'm enough, that I can tell this person that I'm worthy of love, mm-hmm. that I can remind them, or I could tell them that I'm perfect. You know, it was so really, really lonely space. It was as if I needed this person to just see that I'm love, mm-hmm. you know? So I started to go into that space, and I was very sad there because obviously this person can't give it to me. So what I did was I had a big plea, and the plea was to spirit. And the plea was, spirit, I don't want to experience this anymore. I don't want to continue to look for this outside of me. I want to experience a relationship that is the opposite of this, that I don't have anxiety, that I don't feel stressed out, that I feel like I need to, you know, do something all the time. It's like, there's no peace there. And there hadn't been peace there in a long time. I was like, I'm tired of this anxiety, this anxiousness of searching for something and having someone love me. It was like, I am tired of it. It was as if I had had enough. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to experience the opposite of that. And I think that there was such a strong call. Mm-hmm. I think the window willingness opened up so big. It was like, I feel like the wind blew it open. It was like, ah, I watched Frozen 2 yesterday. Oh, and it opens. And then when it opens, I'm like, spirit comes in, and you better be careful, because when you have willingness, in my book, I call it big willingness, you know, and of course, Miracle says little willingness, but I say big fat willingness just for form-based word, because we're so cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? And it's not the cereal. It's like, you need this big willingness. And the reason I say, be careful what you say, is because then game's on. You know, there's like a whole nother thing that happens there, because then you need to show up for yourself in a whole new way. It's as if I've never experienced anything like it. So when that window opened of willingness, spirit came in, and then spirit said, you need to forgive. Hmm. And the forgiveness is you got to forgive your father. And then I was like, my father? Well, he passed away when I was 3 months old. He committed suicide. I don't know. I don't even remember who he was. I don't think, you know, when you think that things, when you're little, you're like, oh, you don't even remember them. So you feel they didn't affect you. You feel they're not really there. So for me, I was like, that was irrelevant. Then I was like, okay, fine. Well, that's great, because I don't really care. So I could forgive that. That's fine. You know, mm-hmm. But then spirit said, not only that, you need to forgive all the men in your life. Mm-hmm. And remember, guys, I was like a serial relationshipper, if you could call it that. So I had a lot of relationships in my workshops. My husband, Christian, now, every time I say this in my workshops, that, you know, Spirit says, you know, you have to forgive all the men in your life. Christian always says at this point, how many? And I'm like, well, that's the past. I'm not going to tell you. You'll probably be horrified, but it was just a lot of different relationships I had. Of course, that was my curriculum. So that's when the 7-step forgiveness process was born that day. It's actually in my book, the 7-step forgiveness process. In the book, it's funny because we kind of hear like the backstories of everything. The book, it's called the 7-step fearless process now, just because it's in the You're Not Fearless chapter. Mm-hmm. So sometimes just like in Hollywood, they change things around so it kind of like sounds better or whatever. But I was fine with that because when you're forgiving, you're being fearless. So it goes together anyways. Mm-hmm. So the process was this that I received, and it was a very clear process that I needed to do. And I had never heard this process anywhere. I had never heard it in any of my past books. Mm-hmm. This was something that was specifically coming for me and of course for us. So I took it down, and what it was this. It was, I needed to go back in time to all the relationships that I had, starting with my father. And I needed to go deep within to ask what story I had made up about him, like whatever I thought about him, what's the story with him? And then after I would say the story, then I would get Holy Spirit's story of what's really true there. Hmm. Then the third process is a letter to that person to have a healing. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you give it to the person, it's just for you, right? Then along with that came daily meditation. So every day it was daily meditation. And the other thing was, since at the time I was working on valuing myself and love, the question was, is this thought coming from a space of valuing myself, my true self? Is this action coming from a space of valuing myself? Because at the time I would, of course, like text that director to come over, or I would do all these things that weren't aligned to my self love values. So that was the other thing. So this is when it starts to get, it really was something amazing, of where every day it was for 7 days, of where I would go back in time to all my relationships, look at them and get insights from Spirit. Mm. Seema, this was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my whole life, to look at these relationships. This is why I tell people that healing comes with willingness. Mm-hmm. And that willingness looks different for everyone. Although what I've experienced is this sensation of really getting out of your way in an extraordinary way. It's very big, and it's something that I feel that I was compromising for so long. So this is why I'm so adamant about it now, because if I could save people time, I'm so there. It's as if, and you know what, sometimes it's just that soul's thing, you know, but maybe if I say something, it probably clicks something within the person. I've seen that happen too. But for me, it was like, I needed to really do this work. And every day I went back in time. And the one that surprised me the most was my father, because that's the one I cried so hard on. I didn't realize what was there. So what came up in the conversation with Spirit about this was, first of all, a lot of resentment towards my father. And for who are on the call today, I'm sure that you can relate to some sort of strain with your family, you know, father or mother. And what I got, Seema, was Spirit said, I said to what I got from Spirit at the time, and it's coming to me now, was I felt abandoned by my father came up, and how selfish of him was the story. And I didn't know that this was going on inside me. How selfish of him that he can just leave my mother after they had lost a son of 9 years old. How could, and he left his kids in Cuba, his two other sons in Cuba. So there was a lot of stuff going on with him. But how selfish of him to leave my mother with my 16-year-old brother and to leave her with a 3-month-old, which was me. How dare he? That was the conversation. How dare he? Who does he think he is? What a jerk. And on and on and on. Then the tears started to come down of this very deep wound of being left. So I come into the world, I'm an infant, I'm very receptive, I'm feeling, there's still something there. Even though I don't remember, there's something there. And there's like this pool of energy leaving me. It felt like, it's not the truth, but that's what it felt like, because I didn't understand it. Now I understand it. So then what I got from spirit was that my father never abandoned me. When I asked spirit, what's really real here? That's the question I usually ask myself, is what's the story that I've made up, and what's the true story? What's really real here? And spirit said to me, your father never abandoned you, which I thought was very radical. That's why I knew it was coming from spirit, because I don't think anybody outside would ever tell me that. And I don't think I would say that as either, you know, because obviously it looked like he did, or he left. Your father never abandoned you. Your father could never abandon you, because your real father is God.
Mm-hmm.
And it went even deeper when he said, your father actually did this for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you set it up this way for you. I was like, what? These are like very strong, you know, concepts here that are coming through. And I said, well, why would I set that up? And why is this even happening this way? And spirit said, it was a favor that was done for you and that you created for yourself, because he was a very jealous person in this lifetime. He was also an alcoholic, and you had a very big purpose in life, and it would have been hindered. And when that purpose was given to you, he was no longer could play the role of your father, because in form, because you needed that freedom so you can fly like an angel. I was like, what's happening here? And then more tears. It was, your father could never abandon you, because your real father is God, and he did you a favor so you can be free and fly like an angel. And then of course in there I have the healing, you know. It was like I was released. And then it was the next relationship, Seema, and then it was the next relationship. This went on for 7 days. I was speaking at the time, and I remember I had to speak at a woman's a conference. And I remember I had to have my assistant at the time pick me up. I was a hot mess. I was in the car. I was like, I was trembling, because I was going through this really deep healing process. And I remember showing up for the conference and how beautiful the talk was, because it was coming from that space of such healing from these relationships with men in my life. So the seventh day, this is when I say, this is for all of us, right? This is when Live Your Happy was born. This is when I ignited relationships in my life again that were actually served me, my true self. And this is when I broke, I would say, a very big pattern in my life, was the seventh day.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what happened. And this is for all of us. I feel this message. I got in bed and I closed my eyes, and it was the seventh day, and I was very distressed. It was a very emotional process. And I pleaded to spirit. I said, spirit, I want a healing. I don't want to experience this void anymore in my life. I really want this. I want to experience love in my life. I want to be a mother, you know, in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. I want to experience a love that I don't have to force. I don't want to experience a love that I have to, convince somebody to love me or like me. It was just so powerful. And I remember spirit said to me, after I said these things, said to me, no, you don't. You know, I was like, what do you mean? No, I don't. Because I was like, I really want this. You know, I really want to feel that. And I kept on hearing, no, you don't. And that was very strong words, but I feel that I really needed that, because that's the first time that I was actually really honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we do, guys, unconsciously, is that we want to heal,
mm-hmm.
and we say we want to heal. We say we want this life of being as God created me and really experiencing miracles in our lives. But there's this underlying connection. No, not connection, but addiction,
mm-hmm.
to the separated self. And it's very underlying, especially if you're a course student, because you're feeling you're doing the work and you're spiritual and whatnot. It's even a little bit more disguised there, because then now you have a layer of something else to be able to be right, that you, that you're spiritual and you're enlightened, and underneath it, there's a lot of caca, like I like to say. So that within that space, when the spirit said, when I said, I'm so ready to be the love of my life, I'm so ready to have self-love, and spirit says, no, you don't. To me, to myself, I said that to myself, was finally I had been honest. Finally, I realized my compromise and my exceptions. Because if I want that, the way that I'm being in life was completely opposite. It wasn't I am love and I am love. You know, it was I am love and let me look for my love outside of myself, with the director sitting in the couch wanting to text him, right? I am abundance, but, you know, worried about money. You know, so what came there was like the oneness of that everything needs to go together. It's not I am this, but it's that's it. Like the excuses, you got to stop with the excuses of, oh, well, not now, or but, or no, it's, you're all in. So at the time, Seema, when I had that awakening, it was so profound, because I was, for the first time, I was very honest with myself. Mm-hmm. And honest for all of us, because I feel like this is for all of us. It's like, all right, it's as if the cat is out of the bag and now there's no going back. So when I realized that I had compromised and that I wasn't really, really there with my willingness or really wanting to heal, I felt that was such a beautiful message from spirit, even though it would seem harsh, because at first I was like, but what do you mean I'm not ready? Every day I've been crying. Every day I've been journaling. Every day I've been meditating. I've been following your direction. And what do you mean I'm not ready? I was pissed at the beginning. I was like, what do you mean? But then I understood that no, I'm not, is because there's still something, and you got to see what that is for you. There's still something you still want to hang on to, because it still gets you off, because it still helps you to experience yourself as separate, which you're addicted to. It's all of that we need to start to dismantle, because until we get really honest, this is why I'm very honest with my teachings too, is because if we don't start to get very honest, we're just pretending, which was I was doing for so long. But that's the first time I was very, very honest with myself. And then the gates of heaven opened up for me. But they were already open. It's just I was finally able, wanting to step in. And then from there, with that energy, I was able to start to really call in love into my life. And with Christian, what happened was, it's funny, because my book was published in 2017. Mm-hmm. And I met Christian in 2017. And I also got pregnant in 2017. So I feel that it was kind of like a full circle of that day, and then getting the book deal with Live Your Happy, writing the book. It was like the whole book was a healing for me. It was as if the book was a forgiveness process for me. And then the book is about to be born. And then Christian comes into my life. In February, he comes into my life, and the book came out in April. So I think that that's already such synchronicity there. And then it was also game time again to start to get to work there, because then a lot of the old grievances come up, a lot of the clinginess, a lot of looking for love outside of myself and blah, blah, blah. But this time I know better. So what happens is that I'm a whole new person in this relationship. I had never been like that before. I saw myself wanting to be the old Maria. But there was just no space for it, because every time I would get, anytime I would forget, I have chosen a partner that's very conscious. So then there, that's a whole nother thing. This person is at the same level as I am, or more, in the sense I'm saying, a form of awakenness, that there was no room to play. It's like his soul would not let me be that needy Maria, because there's no space for that. So I always tell people, you know, be careful what you wish for with the holy relationship, because it's very hard, because there's no space to compromise there and make exceptions. And that's what Christian and I are playing right now. We play this whole joyful game of really for me in the relationship, the goal is for me to really experience and come to understand what is really love. That's my goal in the relationship. Because I feel that every time I don't judge him, every time I'm honest, every time I don't people please, every time I recognize that it's all about me, it's not personal, I'm experiencing a love beyond measure, and then I get to really love him. Mm-hmm. Because the other way that I was loving was in love. You know, it was based on coming from a space of him wanting to fill me or fill my needs. And I really am proud of myself in the way that I have been in this relationship, because there's something to be said about progress in the dream. And I have made a lot of progress. Till this day, sometimes I struggle with my addictions of self-worth that I used to have. They come up with him a lot. But I'm one that walks my talk. You know, I live what I teach, and I share it with people very openly of it really works when you work it. And every time I find myself with Christian and wanting to go into the victimization or anything, I go into the silence, you know, and I ask Spirit, and I always feel Spirit's sweet embrace. And I always experience Spirit saying whatever needs to be said at the moment. And I remember that sometimes I don't even need to say anything to him. It's gone. You know, there's nothing that needs to be said. It's gone. And last year was a really hard year for me, because a lot of my old tendencies came up. I think I had already Ari. There was space there now for me to have the transformation occur. Before, there wasn't really space because I was two in the dream. You know, I was pregnant, then I had Ari, and then the book high went down, you know, because I had also had so many things that happened that then there was room to kind of process. So last year was a really hard year of where he started to mirror me, my abandonment again. Not that he had done it before, but I had seen it now in him. And he started to mirror to me my fear of abandonment. And it was about 6 months of a lot of suffering, because I was feeling like I was going to get like the rug pulled out under me. And at this time I had a lot of fear because we had a son together and if this marriage would end. But I really stuck to it, Seema. I would pray every day. I would do the Course in Miracles every day in the sense of really living it and speaking to Spirit. And most importantly, what I was doing is that I was recognizing that it's not him. And it was like this whole story of anything that he was triggering me was just values and concepts that I was valuing, because it was all in my head. It was all the stories that were coming from the past, and I was coming to sabotage myself again. So when I caught the stories and I realized the truth, the ego has been undone, and now I'm free again. And our relationship is back to the atonement. You know, we're like very loving right now. You know, I'm seeing him in truth, and I'm not fearful. You know, anytime he experiences fear, I'm there for him. I'm not like, something's wrong with me, he's going to, you know, it's more of, oh, okay, well, let me be here for you. Let me hold space for you. This is, you know, there's nothing wrong here, you know? So it's been a process, and it's been a beautiful process to see where I'm at and my courage, and just really proud of myself that I've was able to shift that around, because it shows me where I'm at. Cause I know that in my early 20s, I wasn't there yet. And I'm grateful for him, because he's such a beautiful partner to wake up with, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe I could talk so much. That was long. I don't even know. I guess I'm Cuban. I could talk a lot.
Wow. It's so beautiful to hear you and listen to you and feel your heart and your vulnerability. It's just really, you know, I'm just really enjoying listening to you just express. Yeah. So I think I just want to ask one more question, and then I just really want to open it, because I think others might want to come into this conversation. Yesterday you said something, and I was thinking about it, because you know, you were talking about the coronavirus, and we were talking, and there's something in the course where it says, you know, make this year different by making it all the same, right? Make this year different by making it all the same, in a sense of like what you've been talking about. that no matter what the external is, it's all the process of bringing it in into healing and not making exceptions, right? You've been talking about not making excuses. So everything is the same in that it's a call for love, whatever it looks like, right? Whatever it looks like and how. So you're saying like, yeah, I don't even want to make this coronavirus such a big thing because it makes it like, oh my gosh, this is different. This is somehow different. And, you know, and if you've gone through all the different things you've shared with us, it's like life continues, the practice continues, right? It's just, it's another opportunity to continue that practice that we're already doing. So I wonder if you could frame it for us in that way so we can, yeah, that's what's coming to me.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's so interesting that you asked me that because I remember when I said that. I remember when I said that yesterday on the call, and I remember feeling how truthful that was, how liberating that was, how loving that was. Because I remember when I said it, it was coming from spirit because it was like whole and holy. It was like oneness. I remember exactly when I said it, and I feel that these words that we use sometimes, it's good to kind of just observe and discern. Because we'll say, now is the time to pray more, or now is the time to do this because these times, you know, now's when we really, really have to work these principles, or now's the time that we need this more than ever. Do you know, it's like this type of conversation, and that's not wrong. It's just, let's see what we're doing here, you know, because then what we're doing is that we're making this very, very real, and that this is special because this is something that's so big and different than anything else. When it's all the same, because it's not just, I'm going to pray now. And now I'm going to, you know, go deeper into healing because the coronavirus is here. What was coming to me when I was speaking to you, Seema, was now and forever. You know, it's not about, oh, let's do this now. No, it's let's be this forever throughout eternity, because there's nothing different here than anything else, you know? But when we set it apart as special, like, oh, now we need to really, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's a lot of separation there, because what's going on now is nothing different than stubbing your toe, which is really shitty to say, but it's what it is. It's just part of this experience in this realm, you know, it's just another, it's another experience that we're having within the experience, instead of like, oh my God, this is war. You know, it's just another, it's like another image within the images. And you get to observe it, and you get to be within it in the way that you can and have access to. So for me, it's nothing's different. Like right now, nothing is different. On the contrary, everything is perfect. Now, within the perfection, what happens is how do I know it's perfect? And how do I know that it's the way it's supposed to be? And how do I know that it's supposed to happen? It's because it's happening. It's like, this is a glass of water. Choose, you know, do I want the glass of water to be Coke? No, it's water. So it's water. And that's it. There's no way around it. So for me, it's as if whatever is in front of me or whatever is happening, it's exactly perfect. Because why? It is happening. And if I see it other than perfection, I'm going to suffer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to suffer. Now, is there action that needs to be taken sometime? Is there feelings that need to be felt? Is there ways that we can help? Of course, we're still in the world. You know, we're not here to not be compassionate or to be like, you know, one of the things that I've always been very adamant about with studying the course is, you know, it says that this world is not real. All else is an illusion. So a lot of people really take that literally. And it's like, and then they don't know what to do with that. For me, you know, you say that, but that's more of living in the world and knowing you're not of it. That's what that is. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, this world is not real, because I don't know, Seema, do you see me? I don't know, on my screen, I see Susan, you know, I see Barbara, she's laying there. I mean, I see you guys and you see me. So there's some sort of experience happening here. So if I go and I deny this experience, I'm hurting myself because I'm experiencing it. What I can do is reckon and be conscious within the experience. So I don't, sometimes I feel that people really take this literally, and then they, course students even have fights about this, you know? And what I feel is that we could be in the world and not of it, and that this coronavirus or epidemic that's going on is, you can either see it through the lens of love or fear, and you can also know that it's just another passerby experience that we're having collectively for a reason. And what I love about this is that I can't help but say that this is serving us in such a big way. Mm-hmm. This is serving us in such a big way. And I know that in form, of course, people are passing. And I'm not saying that that's not sad in the form level. I'm not saying that. And there's processes with that, and people with bodies go, you know, leaving their form. I get that. Although we have to also understand that these people that are dying or passing away, they've lived a full life. They've lived, you know, even if it's not even, maybe it's 20 years that they've lived, or let's say it's 30 years, or let's say 40 or 50 years. And this is how I see death, is that they lived a full life because that's what they lived. You know, that was the curriculum. It's as if it's exactly perfect. Yeah. They lived 20 years. That's a full life. That was that soul's full life. I mean, who is it? I mean, when did we make this concept up, or when was this doubt given or judgment given that you need to live 100 years? Mm-hmm. What is up with that? Like, that's just judgments that we've created, you know, or when a baby dies at 9 months, you know, and Byron Katie actually talks about this. She said it once, and it kind of like, not horrified me, but I was like, wow, she's very awake. She said something like, that baby lived 9 months. It lived a full life. It lived 9 months. It lived its full life. I was like, wow, she's onto something. Mm. That's, I get goosebumps saying that, because it's a whole nother way to see death, because we have made a judgment that bodies need to live to a certain point. And who are we to say that? Yeah. That's already a judgment. And it's also selfish, because it's like that person needs to live. Mm-hmm. It's also not love. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's really tricky, and it's super powerful and juicy, you know, this whole thing. I feel that we were in a world that was very zombied out, very transed out before coronavirus. I feel that we've been happily slapped in the face by spirit, by Jesus. Jesus always slaps, gives us happy slaps in the face with the course, with all kinds of things it says sometimes, like, psh, psh, you know. I feel that this epidemic is a nice, you know, actually in one of my teleconference, I didn't say slap in the face. I said like a little tap in the butt, you know. It's like, okay, guys, wake up, darlings, you know, a little tap in the butt. And what I got when I, wow. What I got with the coronavirus once that came up to me was the word congratulations. Mm. Congratulations is what kept on coming to me. And I'm like, congratulations. Well, what's that about? You are, congratulations, because now you have another awakened window to awaken to your true self. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. Congratulations on this experience, because as a soul, you've opened up this window to awaken more to your true self. Congratulations. Here's a little pat on the back. You've been sleeping. I love you. And there's like this pat on the butt, like, okay, move your butt now. Now you get to start to really play the game of being with me. You've asked for this. Something like that. I was like, all right. So that's how I see it. And it's very radical, but it's, I feel it's very peaceful. It brings me a lot of peace.
Yes. Yes, I hear you. While I was taking a walk yesterday, I kept hearing one of those lessons, there is no world, there is no world. And it's that idea of the illusion, but it wasn't like a denial. It was like, you know, be of good cheer, because it's not outside and it's all inside. And I'm going to show you, you know, that you can go in. So it was like that passersby, you don't have to get involved. And it wasn't like a bypass, like where you're, I could feel that it wasn't, it was like this deep willingness, this deep voice that was saying, I got you. And here's how we're going to see it. So, thank you for that. I think we need radical interpretations. I really feel that. Otherwise, there's just more suffering. You know, the ego lens reports suffering. So thank you for that. I think it's needed. I don't think it's radical.
Oh, thank you. Also, I feel, Seema, it's very important to also, I'm not saying to bypass also and pretend either. Yeah. Because being in a physical body, we are going to have sadness or we're going to have joy. We're going to go through experiences of where we watch the news and make it very real. Or maybe we have, a relationship in our lives, or maybe somebody passes that has had whatever that is. And that's when it's time to be gentle with ourselves and loving. And there's nothing wrong with feeling your feelings. You know, that's part of spirituality. You know, I always say you got to feel it to heal it. You know, I mean, my whole 7-step process was really feeling, you know, going back in time and feeling everything that I had gone through and giving it over to spirit for its interpretation. So there's something to be said about sitting with spirit and saying, I'm worried about my finances at this time with the coronavirus. I'm worried about my future. I'm worried one of my loved ones is going to die. I'm scared I'm going to die. That's a big one. You know, a lot of people think that they're going to get it or they're going to die. And to really just get really honest about these feelings and this sadness or what anxiety that you're having is beautiful. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's like seeing it like an innocent child filled with wonder and being like, okay, I'm feeling these feelings. And just acknowledging yourself that you're such a powerful creator. You know, you're a powerful creator in creating this illusion. And then at the same time, if you can create this illusion, you can also create the good, the holy, and the beautiful. But you have to acknowledge first what you're believing in. And you're believing in separation. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, now I can give this over to spirit, all this fear. And spirit, how do you see this? And that's where I love my practice, Seema, in chapter 1 and chapter 2. So chapter 1, and it relates a lot to the epidemic that we can use. It's like chapter 1 talks about big deals. And of course, this coronavirus would be a big deal. Doing your taxes and getting audited is a big deal. Getting divorced is a big deal. Having to stand in line at the bank, you know, and waiting is a big deal. So like just everyday things that take away your peace, you're going to write them down. Chapter 1, you write them all down. So you do like this whole inventory of, you write them all down, all your big deals. You sit with spirit with a candle and you write down anything that's taking away your peace of mind. And then in chapter 2, you take these big deals to spirit and you say, spirit, I give you over all these things I have in my head, all this fear, all this doubt. I want to know what's really real here. I want to know the truth here. When you say really real, it means anything that's not of love is fear. So you want to know the opposite of that. And that's a duality, right? So then you channel and then you get what is really true within all this big deal. So I really highly recommend at this time that you look at those thoughts and look at the fears and not deny them. Not pretend you're happy, not pretend you're the Course in Miracles, not pretend you are the light of the world. Being the light of the world is doing the work. You know, that's what spirituality really is really living that spirituality, which is taking responsibility, which is forgiveness, which is doing the work I'm talking about. And it's just very helpful, that process of listening, I mean, of being honest and then listening and then let spirit give you what's really real. Now, a lot of people would say, well, I don't hear anything. Nothing's coming out. That's okay. Write that. Say nothing's coming out. This sucks. You know, it's like, you got to be honest. And then you start to like, it's just like a muscle going to the gym. You know, the way that I started to really start to listen to spirit was doing it all the time and just practicing. I have people in my workshops that I sit with and they ask me, Maria, what should I do here? Like, and they're very distressed and they're crying and they're going through something. And they ask me, what should they do? And I always say, I don't know. What? but I know that you know. And they're like, what do you mean I know? I was like, well, you have an inner wisdom inside of you. You have Holy Spirit. You have a voice that knows everything and that has your back, and you're still taken care of. So do you want to listen? And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, well, you're going to channel now. And they're like, I'm going to channel. And I was like, yeah. So I have them close their eyes, put their hand on the heart, and I ask them a question. I go through a process, and then they get their answer. And they open their eyes and they're like, I didn't know that. I was like, I know. You have a whole, it's like a whole new world inside you. I mean, and you know everything. It's beautiful. I've had LAPD officers do this accessing inner wisdom counseling that I do. Come to my house, go on the couch, put their gun on the table, and channel. Okay. I've done this with people all over the world. I've been doing this since 2012 that I got ordained. I do accessing inner wisdom counseling, which is this counseling of where it's very Course in Miracles related, because you go and see your thought clusters. So you see all the thought clusters of all the clusters of thoughts that you have that are blocking and are the barriers. And I take you to this space and this meditation of meeting with Jesus so that you can heal that. And then you get insights from spirit of what's really true and how you can live it fully in your life. That's what I love about Pathways. It's like you start to live this stuff. So I feel that at this time, it's beautiful at this time and all the time to do this introspective work of really still feeling and being honest with yourself and not denying anything. Cause I feel sometimes that's the problem. We kind of resist instead of acceptance and like, oh my God, I feel like shit, or I don't feel like shit, or I feel sad, or my God, I'm super anxious, and see it more of, I feel that when we judge ourselves, mm-hmm. because of the we judge ourselves because of the judgment, and then it's like a whole downward spiral, like we feel bad and then we judge ourselves for feeling bad versus of we feel bad and it's a big deal. It's very loving, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. I just forgot who I am right now, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll come back in a little bit or maybe in a few days. You know.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Perfect. Okay, so we'll let Maria take a couple of sips of water.
Thank you.
And I know there must be a lot of questions. I could feel there must be a lot. So who would like to ask, respond? Oh, okay. Here we go. Mary Straub.
Yeah, thank you so much, Maria. That was powerful. In fact, there was so much that I'm like, oh, I'm glad there's a recording. Because as you were speaking, I kept feeling myself going off into my story or my adventure. But what, as you were getting to talking about the coronavirus, you know, that's really what's been coming to me, is that this is no different. This is just, nothing's really changing here. It's not, I don't have to see it as, something going wrong or something going right. It's what is it to be? And this is what I have to ask you about is because what keeps coming to me is the solution for, you know, I really am resonating with your title. The solution to everything is live your happy. You're happy. And so and you've already expressed that the happy is not the happy that the ego knows. So I kind of want, it's kind of like that is the answer. It's kind of like it's kind of like follow your bliss. What would love do? And it, you know, it's like when someone asks, and it seems to me that the answer is live your happy. And I'm really getting a resonance with that. So I just want to hear what that title is really is saying to you that you have to give, because I'm really feeling that is a gift. That is a gift to me for sure. So yeah.
Wow, Mary, what a question. Thank you for that question. It's bringing me tears. Yeah, it's a beautiful question, and I'm excited to see what comes through, because this is a beautiful question, and And the reason it is because it goes back to the awakening, which is when the no longer making compromises and exceptions is living your happy. And this title, Live Your Happy, actually is something that had come to me before I wrote the book. I started to get out there and say this word, Live Your Happy, these words. And when D. Patrick Miller, which was the one that helped me to get the book published, he said, Maria, it's really not good grammatically, he told me at the time, but it's so you. So we're going to try to keep it. And I remember that the publishers also didn't like it because it didn't sound right. Live Your Happy. And at the time, people weren't really using the happiness word out of context. People weren't really saying be happy or things like that at the time. Now they use it a lot. Now happiness is used in that fun mainstream way. But at that time, I was like kind of the first ones that was using happiness out of context and kind of in a different way. But Mary, your question is so powerful because it's true. Because live your happy is really live A Course in Miracles. So when you're living your happy, what that means is that, and that's the solution to everything, because living it means that you step into this realm of consciousness, which is we're all having, and you are the light of the world, and that you're living your happy is because you are no longer making compromises or exceptions. You are living in responsibility. That's living your happy. It's like being completely responsible for your life, that you know that you can experience anything you want through the lens you want. Things are going to happen. Problems are going to appear in this world. I don't know if you've noticed, but this world is filled with problems. And then when you resolve one, you're going to get another one. So you might as well start to get really good at getting happy with these things, because it's part of life. So when you start to recognize that you get to perceive it and have the experience you want, you're living your happy when you start to choose more the experience that is really real, which is love. And then living your happy is also forgiveness. And then when you're living it, you're really forgiving. You're not pretending you're forgiving, and you're not saying the but word. You know, it's like, oh, when you're living, you're happy. There's no but, there's no and. You are, it is. You know, there's not, I'm going to forgive, but I'm still going to hold this grievance, which is what we do all the time. This is what we do. It's like, we do it all the time. It's like every moment we say we want something, especially, and we're course students, and we're like, oh, I want to experience this lesson. I want to live this lesson. I want to have an awakening. I don't want to suffer anymore. It's bullshit, Mary. We do. We're still hanging on to the separation. Yeah. It's like, that's when we get honest. We live our happy when we're like, you know what? Yeah. It's like the day that I had the awakening of the 7-step fearless process. It's like, I got really honest with myself. That's when it's game time. Because then the cat is out of the bag. And then we're really living our happy because we're done. We're done with the sleeping. It's like we're sleeping. So I love that you said that, Mary, because live your happy that is the key. That is true happiness, is that you really step into it and you live it now. And there's no room for compromising or exceptions or excuses. It's games on. And then this starts to get really interesting. You start to really experience what the course is teaching. You get to really experience it at a very deep level. Thank you, Mary, for that question. That is everything to me, because I kept on sharing with people that whole thing. It's like, people are like, what changed your life? Well, I started to live it.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Maria. And I love that you said that live your happy is actually living the Course in Miracles. Because I've been studying, but now I'm realizing that the real healing, the real work, and you kept talking about work, the real work is to live it. So I'm living your happy is living the course. So living, yeah, thank you.
My book could be called Live A Course in Miracles. It's just that's played out. You know, I've heard that before, so we couldn't call it that, but you know, a lot of people don't know that that's what it is. Living your happy is living the Course in Miracles to max capacity, like at full throttle, without making more exceptions or compromises. Like, that's what live your happy is. It's not some cheerleader happiness. Oh, let me pretend I'm happy. I live that. So it's funny because even in Live Your Happy in the introduction, I say to people, Mary, this book will make you happy. I say this in the introduction of my book, and this book says Live Your Happy. And I'm saying at the very beginning of the book, this book will make you happy. And the reason I say that is because A Course in Miracles is teaching us that we have everything now and we lack nothing. So if I tell you in this book that this book will make you happy, I'm not being of service to you because then you're lacking something. Now, this book could be helpful. It could give you tools. It could give you tips. But this book could never give you something you already have because happiness is your inheritance and happiness is your function. Not only that, Jesus says it's your birthright. So how could a workshop give it to you? How could a live stream give it to you? How could a book give it to you? How could a teacher give it to you? It's something that is already yours. It's like your genes, you know, it doesn't go away. You might forget you're not happy and leave the happiness umbrella, like I like to say, and you might go off in a whole dream world and pretend all your stories, but your happiness is always there. It's like love. It's never gone. It never goes away. It's funny because when my book first came out on podcasts, they would ask me, Maria, what are you trying to say? You could be happy all the time, 24/7. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, well, why did I just say that? And I wanted to go back in time and then I had already said it. And then the words came. And the words were, yes, we could be happy 24/7, 7 days a week, because it's what we are. Mm-hmm. It's never goes away. We just forget and we fall asleep in the world. But we're God's children. We're joyous. We're peaceful. We're love. We're unlimited. It's like, that's the realm we are. It's like, that's our essence. No matter this body suit that we've put on, this is just something we're playing with, but it's not the truth about us. So the more that we wake up and know that we're kind of like a little puppets going on here, it's not really real. Then what happens is that we start to break this concept that fear is normal, that it's hard is normal, that depression is normal, that anxiety is normal. It's like, I say, well, what about the opposite of that? So if you would tell somebody, can you be depressed and suffer and have anxiety for 24/7? People would probably buy it. Oh yeah, that's fine. But if I say you could be happy 24/7, then there's a problem. Well, no, the problem is that we believe we could be depressed for 24/7, 7 days a week. But I'm coming to let my brothers and sisters know, why don't we play opposite day now? And what about easy is normal? How about suffering is normal? How about not having anxiety is normal? How about recognizing you have everything and lack nothing is normal? Then we start to play in a different realm, you see?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Mary.
I love the new normal. I love this new normal.
Hey. So, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hi, Maria. I spent the majority of your talk taking notes, actually, in my Google Keep because I feel like you just told my entire story and then on top of that, just called me out on my shit. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Like, you just called me out on my shit, like, right there. And I'm just calling it how I see it. And
that's awesome, Lauren.
Yeah, like, it was great. And it's exactly what I needed. And I think it's funny because earlier this week I was meditating and I had an experience with spirit where he was like, you know, when you jump, when I tell you to jump, jump. So I did it for a day and then I slacked for 2 days and I started doing it again today. And then when you started talking about the honesty part, you know, how you were just like, oh, I'm doing this, 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 and this. And then when you said, when spirit told you, no, I didn't, or no, you weren't, that's when you said that was the first time you were actually really honest with yourself. I kind of had an epiphany at one point while I was sitting here and you and Mary were talking, that I kind of wanted to share. I think the reason I have been so resistant to going all in, even though that desire is there, to just going all in spiritually and giving so willingly to my healing. I mean, I've been giving like, I feel like I've been giving so much, but not that full commitment. Mm-hmm. It's because, like you, I've had several mystical experiences since I was a child, and I've never really talked about it with anybody because they're so private. And, you know, a lot of people, when you say you've had mystical experiences, they just look at you like you have six heads, unless they're familiar with the content of what you're talking about or if they believe in it. And I've had several close encounters with God where, or spirit, whatever you want to call it at this point, I don't even know what I call it, where he's told me that I'm meant to do something great, you know, kind of like you were saying with your dad, like you're meant to do something great. But I've been through so much, and kind of like you, like I have, you know, I've gone through and I've had a drinking problem that I've since am in recovery for. And I have a external addiction to relationships, and I still am struggling with that. I'm single now. I'm not searching for anybody right now. That's why I'm spending this time to heal. And my problem is I fear my potential. Mm. I fear what that looks like. And that's the thing that continuously comes up for me. I don't know why I fear that, but that scares the crap out of me. I don't know why I fear that. And that's the single thing that's causing me to not be able to let go. And I know I re-listened to, Seema, I had mentioned to you yesterday that I had was re-listening to some of the podcast or some of the talks from 7 to 9, and I re-listened to 9 this morning twice, and it was talking about the redemption versus the crucifixion and how we're often fearful of the redemption. And I can relate to that because it's kind of similar to what we're talking about today, like how we're fearful of the redemption. And I'm not by any means a Course in Miracles student. I'm not even familiar with a lot of the concepts outside of what Seema's different here, and then her courses I've taken online have exposed me to. But it's just, it almost feels like self-sabotage in a way, you know? And I just kind of wanted to share that. I just felt compelled to share that. So thank you for your story, and thank you for your honesty. It's just, your story is just so powerful, and just thank you so much. Mm.
Thank you, Lauren. Yeah. I could feel you when I was speaking, because I could see the little boxes, and I can feel you, you know, and I'm so excited for you, you know, because you said a lot of things, and all I can experience within you is this willingness, and you're very awake, because if not, you wouldn't be saying the things that you are. Like, you're very conscious of things. And what really was like my little ding, ding, ding for you was when you said that there's a part of you that, you know, it's like self-sabotage. And there, when you're on to that, then there's a journey there. And that's what the journey that you're on. You're starting to walk that path of, and that's going to be on your own time, of where you are down this path of really discovering and undoing the egoic thought system and starting to awaken within that self-sabotage, which is where I was when I did that 7-step fearless forgiveness process, of where I got really honest with myself. You just got really honest with yourself now, because when you're like, oh, I'm terrified of my greatness, because we're so used to repressing and pretending and not shining. That's our normal. That's what we believe is true. So what you're saying here is a very beautiful and very awakened statement when you say, oh, I I'm scared of being the light. I'm scared of showing up in the world in a whole new way. So that's why I say to you, you know, congratulations, because you are, now you're on that path of dismantling that and being that. Because I felt that. I felt you when you were in the thing. I can feel your soul talking to me, and I could feel like we were kind of dancing together of where you're there, you know? So I'm excited for you, you know, that you're doing this, and you're doing this work with Seema and dibbly dabbling in the course and stuff. But I feel that you're right on. And I feel that all of us here can relate to what you just said about we're scared of that. And I feel that when we're there, it's beautiful, because then it's like we're looking at it in the face and we're like, aha, you know, okay, it's game time here. And I know I have the Holy Spirit. I have my access, my inner wisdom, and there's something so much bigger than me in this. And I'm going to show up every day in this realm, in this dream, as best as I can. And I'm gonna do my best to be the light of the world. And some days it's gonna appear to look different than others, but just the intention is huge. You know, I woke up yesterday, just automatically praying. I just woke up praying, and my prayer was, God, I want all of you, and I don't want to be fearful anymore. There's parts of me, Lauren, that are still very fearful, and I still know that I don't shine to the capacity that I know that I want to, my desire, but I'm just not ready yet. But I'm so committed to that. Every day I'm like, there's so much that still blocks me, but I still ask Spirit, because I know that I'm scared of that beautiful greatness. It's like, I'm so terrified to be, I am as God created me, because it's so vast. It's so huge. It's so beautiful, but I'm so used to being scared that it's like, it's foreign to me. Right? So it's something that I feel that there's layers to it. I feel that I've made a lot of progress, but I'm still there. Like, I see there's still parts of me that are still very restricted in my relationship with Christian, that are still even restricted in my power as a teacher, that I still, there's some things. And Christian's always like, you should do this program, or you could do this, or you could do that. And he wants my speaking to grow. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do a 9-week program. No, I don't want to do a, you know, this evergreen program that's going to come out in Easter. Like, I don't want to do any of that, because I'm scared, Lauren. I'm scared of this unknown, you know, and it's a form thing, but it's more than form. It's like, I don't want to expose my whole truth of like who I am in God, because it's too much. So I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you, because you're me and I'm you, you know, and we're in this together. And that's it. And it's game time. The time has come.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we're at time. I'm not sure if you're available, Maria, to take another question, or what are you feeling? Because we're at time right now. So how do you feel?
We can do one more, and then we can wrap it up. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So Barbara?
Well, maybe they're sharing. Oh. It's fine too. If the people don't have questions, if they just want to share something.
Okay. All right. Well, Barbara had her hand up, so we'll take Barbara. Okay.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God. I love your energy. Oh, you are so just happening. I just could so relate to everything that you said, and I'm excited. I'm so excited. This morning, I was working on my lesson in the Course in Miracles, and I had spent 2 days before spending the whole day in prayer and meditation and looking at grievances in my life and seeing the face of Christ with everybody that I was pissed off at. And I was just feeling so great and zen. And then this morning I'm doing my lesson and this story, like I invent this story and I'm all pissed off about something that might happen. And I feel this tightness in the back of my neck, and I'm all like revved up and into battle mode, and I saw what I was doing, and I just said, just stop. And I prayed and I asked God, I asked the Holy Spirit to intervene and help me to get back on track. And yeah, I want to listen to this recording, because there was just so much in what you said. I want to do that 7-day process. I'm just really excited about that. And at the same time, I'm going, well, when can I fit that in? You know, like, when can I fit that in? Because I got this going on and that going on. And like, I so related to what you said about, you talked about compromising
and exceptions. Uh-huh.
And exceptions.
And you're already doing it with the 7-step process. You're like,
I am.
I want to heal, but I don't have time for that process.
Yeah, so maybe I can fit it in like at the end of April. Yeah, at the end of April, I could do that. And like, it's just so crazy, because you're right. I don't want it. I really, really don't want it. I'm addicted to all this craziness.
I love it,
Barbara. I'm addicted to this separation. So thank you. Thank you for sparking me so beautifully. And I don't know why all of a sudden I was listening to you, and then I just felt so calm, and I laid down, and then I'm going, am I going back to sleep, or am I just calm, you know, like, but anyway.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Yeah. I love how you caught yourself there. That's doing the work, you know, and doing the work is honesty, you know, and authenticity. I always say authenticity is sexy. Why? Because I get to experience you. I get to be with you. We get to be with you. We get to intermingle and dance and heal together. But if you're pretending, then it ain't fun for me, because then I can't work with you. So I feel that it's so beautiful how you just kind of exposed yourself, and how you were like, yeah, you know, I see how I'm in my way. And that's beautiful. That's huge. The 7-step process is actually... in, I think, chapter, I don't know, Dawn, I think you have the book, but if we look there, I think it might be on page, it's on the fearless chapter. It's on the fearless chapter, and I think it's 7, I think. But it's all there on how to do it, and it's step by step, and I really recommend it, Barbara, to do it today. I know that's funny, but it's like, hello, what are we waiting for here? So I know you don't have the book, but it was just funny because when you were saying that, what I got is it's now, you know, it's like, what are we waiting for? But
Is it on Kindle?
It is on Kindle. Yeah, yeah.
It's on Kindle.
And yeah, it's also on audiobook, which I recorded it myself. So it's also really good there. But I'm doing on, when is it? April 11th, the day before Easter. I'm doing my Live Your Happy workshop. And it's an hour and a half, and I will give Seema the link so she can put it on the follow-up email for you guys. Mm-hmm. It's basically living A Course in Miracles. So I'll be an hour and a half talking about what I talked about here, but at a deeper level, so you guys can really live the Course in Miracles. And what does that even look like? So I'll go over the 4 steps, which are big willingness, peace, signs and symbols, and practice, which is you got to practice it. And that's something that came inspired by spirit, because since we're home, I can't really do these workshops on the road. And I've done this workshop all over the world, including Germany and London. But I said, let me do this online. Let me do the workshop online. So it's the first time I offer this book workshop online. So it would be April 11th. And I would love for you guys to join me there, because since you guys are so psyched and so on fire to really work this, you know, let's get in and work it there, and then really start to implement this at a very powerful level. So, and you don't need the book for the workshop, but you know, you can have it there if you want. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you guys will be there. April 11th. It's also going to be on replay, so you can play it after if you need to.
Perfect. Yeah. I thank you, Barbara. And I was going to ask you to share that. So that's perfect. Thank you, Maria.
Got it in there.
Yeah, you got it in there. All right. Well, thank you. I'm just going to just thank you so much for your sharing. I'm going to just unmute everyone so we can just wish Maria and wish each other well. And I'm sure we're going to connect again. So
yes. Hi, Chris. I see you there.
Hi, Maria. Love you. Thank you.
Chris has been following my Course in Miracles lessons I do on YouTube every day. Hi, guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Incredible. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Maria.
Wow. Sima.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Like a
to everyone.
Big coconut. I love you like a big coconut. Oh. You're in my heart.
Thank you.
You're love in my it. Heart. You're in my heart. Thank you.
Oh, that was awesome.